All right, it's 9:40 on this Friday morning. As much as we kid and joke about how much Michigan and Ohio don't like each other, we are neighbors and we are an awful lot alike. And our next guest is known as the Bard of Akron. He is the author of several books, his latest one, Barnstorming Ohio, To Understand America. David Giffel's on the line with us right now. David, good morning.
Good morning, Paul, and I should open by saying that some of my best friends are from Michigan.
Well, there you go. Fair enough. We're glad to have you on today because I do feel like our states are very similar, and you've spent much of the last year or so just really going around the state, talking to people about what they think about the 2020 election. And so I'm really curious to hear what our friends down in Ohio have to say.
Sure, and having written a lot about Ohio and the larger region of the Rust Belt, yes, Ohio and Michigan are kindred spirits in many, many ways. So I've spent all of 2019 and early 2020 working on this book, Barnstorming Ohio, with trying to explore Ohio, the quintessential bellwether state, in what seemed like kind of one of the most urgent times in my lifetime in terms of America's direction. And this was before all of the turmoil of the pandemic and the racial strife and everything that
happened. Yeah, this was the quieter, simpler time of 2019, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I took a nice bucolic 4,000-mile drive from my home state to try to, as the subtitle says, to understand America. But the reason I wanted to do that is because I've lived in Ohio all my life, and I've written about Ohio in very widely ranging ways for all of my adult life as a writer. And I've always understood it to be a place, especially during presidential election seasons, that people turn to try to understand kind of where the country is. And there are really two reasons for that. One of those is a very quantifiable and useful model that Ohio offers. Political scientists and journalists refer to it as the five Ohios. Hmm. And very briefly, the five Ohios are five distinct regions of the state that each offer a different slice of the electorate pie. There's the Northeast, where I live in Akron, which also includes Cleveland and Youngstown, and more broadly, it's a place like Detroit. It's a post-industrial city with a lot of cultural and racial diversity, heavy old union influence, and it feels more like the end of the East, of the American East. There's then Northwest Ohio, which is much more rural, more dominated by farmland. It's even more flat, and it feels like the beginning of the true American Midwest. There's then Southeast Ohio, which is the Appalachian region, which is sparsely populated, high poverty. It's kind of the center of the opioid epidemic and old coal mining and gas and oil economy. Followed then by Southwest Ohio, which is dominated by Cincinnati and really I think of as the beginning of the South.
Yeah.
And then finally there's the center of Ohio, which is dominated by the city of Columbus, which is the only big city in Ohio that doesn't really have an industrial vibe to it. It's also the only growing city in Ohio, and as Michiganders might know, it's also the home of the third largest college campus in America, Ohio State. So it's got a very different vibe, and it's also surrounded by wealthy suburbs. So if you look at those, if you take those separately, each of them votes in its own pattern that doesn't overlap in as much as other places would. And each of them reflects a larger part of the American electorate. They each have kind of their own self-contained media centers, their self-contained sort of subculture. And so it breaks down really well for somebody to try to do statistical research. And then in a more general sense, and I could talk about this all day, mm-hmm. it's Ohio also just has sort of a quintessential American tone to it. And that's really what I was after with this book.
It really is a crossroads of America, no doubt about it. What's interesting here, David, is that Ohio has accurately chosen the winner in 29 of 31 presidential elections. That definitely qualifies it as a bellwether state. I mean, if it's happening in Ohio, it's happening everywhere. That being said, what's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen on November 3rd in Ohio?
Well, I'm not fool enough. I would no longer bet on the outcome of this election than I would on the Cleveland Browns to continue their early success. So,
right.
I've lived here too long to know better. But it's true. Ohio has this uncanny track record of choosing the president. No Republican has ever in American history won the White House without winning Ohio. And I will say that through the summer and into the very early fall, one of my questions was, will Ohio continue this sort of accuracy? Because a lot of people have been saying, especially since 2016, when Donald Trump racked up very big numbers in surprising ways in Ohio, that maybe Ohio is losing this sort of crystal ball effect that it has. And Donald Trump was leading in the polls pretty substantially coming into this, the heart of the election season. And now it's a dead heat. Within the past couple of weeks, it's drawn to a dead heat. And my instinct is, and this is an instinct based on more than a year of very deep research and travel. I talked to more than 100 people and traveled more than 4,000 miles around the state to really try to understand it. My instinct is that we still hold that insight. And the fact that it's drawn close, I think, is the bellwether that says and drawn close but leaning toward Biden, that could be an indicator that that Biden's going to prevail. That's as close as I'll come to a prediction, though.
In traveling the five Ohios and talking to hundreds of people for this book, David, was there one sort of common line of thought that you came away with? Is there something that all these people, as diverse as they are, as different as they are, all seem to kind of coalesce around? Is there one thought that comes out of this book that kind of explains a little bit? I mean, it's a snapshot of, 2019, 2020 in the United States, all crystallized here in Ohio. What was maybe that snapshot that you came away with?
I would say there were two things that I came away with consistently. And one of them was a message that I got from very, very different kinds of people. People who, if you just looked at them as sort of like the sort of superficial cartoon figure of what they represented, like a farmer who votes Republican and a union official who obviously votes Democrat, and a small business owner. All of them gave me this same message that more than ever, for Americans to want to live a life that feels like what we think of as the American ideal of independence and support for the things that we believe in, we have to be more mindful than ever of how we act. Because it's very easy, for instance, to, especially during the pandemic, since we've been sort of chained to our computers, to do commerce in a way that doesn't make you think about where your products were made. Mm. And so for somebody who builds automobiles, who knows how important it is to know that that was assembled by an American worker, if you don't pay attention to that, you start to lose a part of the American ideal. If you don't think about where your food was grown and you just buy, without thought, you lose a connection to the American farmer. There was that, and then there was also a prevailing exhaustion with the division, an exhaustion with social media, and people just seem to be also tired of not being able to speak frankly. I don't know how many times, even though I was very transparent in my approach, that I wanted people to speak for themselves and that this was not, like, I'm not a pollster. This is not just to figure out how they're going to vote. I really wanted to understand people as people. Even at that, people were hesitant to tell me how they voted in 2016, how they plan to vote in the upcoming election, and more largely, like, just didn't feel like they could have the kind of discourse that I think we used to have not very long ago.
This will be the kind of book 100 years from now. I think people will be really fascinated to look back and say, what was it like in those years, 2019, 2020? And this will be a great snapshot of what America is like right now. Barnstorming Ohio, to Understand America by David Giffels. David, thanks so much for sharing some time with us this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. I really enjoyed it.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.